It's the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be pod smacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
Hello, welcome to episode number 176 of the Rob Carson Show podcast. For those of you listening online, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, Google Plus, Amazon Alexa. It's all over the place. Anyway, thank you for joining me today. It is an honor and a privilege to be here. Also, Liberty One TV viewers, hello. Hello. Welcome to the show. It really is an honor and a privilege to be here and to have been invited to take part in this daily video podcast. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. A lot of NFL stuff to talk about. Going to talk a little bit about the president's tax plan, what's it missing, and some lighter fare as well. We'll also get into Hugh Hefner died. Yeah, 91 years old. Heck of a life, right? Heck of a life. Do you want to mention a sponsor of the show if you're in Kansas City? Foundoflifechiro.com. Alex Nelson is a chiropractor. He does a great job. He does decompression for herniated discs. He's done wonders for me. He does wonders for everybody. Firefighters, cops, first responders, low back pain, shoulder pain, carpal tunnel neuropathy, all of these things. Foundoflifechiro.com. He's at 8335 North Congress Avenue in Kansas City. His number is 816-741-4711, 816-741-4711. And tell him that Rob Carson sent you, okay? Fountainoflifechiro.com. So the only group that has had the cojones, the only athletic group, professional team that has had the cojones to say, we stand during the national anthem, the team members don't have cojones. I'm going to share who that is in just a second. O.J. Simpson could be removed or released from prison near Vegas as early as Monday. 70 years old. He's going to be transferred from Lovelock Correctional Center to High Desert State Prison outside of Vegas for release on October the 2nd. You can imagine if you work at Bed Bath & Beyond, you're a minimum wage employee, and you see OJ walk in and he heads back towards the kitchen utensils. Yeah, kind of like, okay. Mr. Simpson, what are you going to use that Wusthof Trident knife for? We'll see. OJ, what do you do? Hugh Hefner passed away, and it was kind of a big deal. He ushered in a sexual revolution. He started with Playboy, before I was born, before many of us were born. And, and if you just think it was about naked women, you would be incorrect. It was more than that. And I know the punchline about Playboy is that I read it for the articles. And they actually did some pretty darn good journalism over the years. Ushered in kind of a sophisticated man, kind of like a GQ with boobs. Kind of like that. Here he is introducing his show that he did in the 60s.
Glad you could join us this evening. I'm Hugh Hefner, editor, publisher of Playboy magazine, and your host.
Very cool music, too. The thing that I liked about Hefner, unapologetically masculine. Unapologetically masculine. We have experienced the wussification of the culture. You've heard that expression before. Men have become soft in a lot of ways. Title IX is being abused on college campuses to accuse men who haven't committed sexual assault of sexual assault. And he was unapologetically masculine, unafraid, unbending. Always wore pajamas, drank martinis. Had sex with a lot of different women. Threw massive parties. I don't know. I like where I am in my life. Hugh Hefner's life, probably not too bad, you know. Rich. Lots of sex with a lot of really hot women. Dies at 91. That's pretty good. Here he is talking about why he wears pajamas. This is David Letterman in 1985, by the way.
About the pajamas. Do you actually still wear pajamas out in public? Do you wear them at all?
Well, I wear them most of the time, but not when I'm doing...
Now, why do you wear them most of the time?
They're very comfortable.
There you go. Yeah, they're comfortable. And because I can. That's another thing. Here he is on how he became Hef and how he started Playboy.
It is 1942 and you are 16 years old. You're also madly in love with a girl named Betty Conklin, beautiful and outgoing. She works at the soda fountain and plays the drums. The two of you even learned to jitterbug together. But today she is going to invite someone else to the hayride and break your heart worse than it's ever been broken before. You will come out of this pain a different person, literally. Determined not to go through this again, you will reinvent yourself. You'll wear cooler clothes and listen to Frank Sinatra.
Now, we mentioned the Betty Jane, I guess. That's where the whole girl next door thing came from. It was the girl next door. It wasn't some supermodel. It was the girl next door. And let me see, a little bit more here. Oh, here he's just talking about being the luckiest guy ever and the girl's next door thing.
It isn't just a matter of age. I recognize that I'm in a very unique situation. It isn't really simply the, you know, being well-to-do. I think it has to do with the unique celebrity connected to Playboy.
Yeah.
I'm the luckiest cat on the planet.
Yeah, he's pretty lucky dude. You know, led a good life, and he led a long life, right? Led a long life. So the only professional team with the cojones to do a PSA and talk about how important it is to stand for the national anthem. None of the team members, at least that I know of, have cojones, and that would be the Lingerie Football League. Here's their PSA.
It symbolizes all the blood, sweat, and tears that have been shed so that we as Americans can raise our flag across our nation. The LFL salutes all those who make this the greatest country in the world. And we stand in salute of our flag.
The Lingerie Football League, they're the ones who step forward to defend the national anthem and why it's important. Can you believe that? The Lingerie Football League. I'm not a big fan of the Lingerie Football League. I know, whatever. I'm just surprised so many women signed up for it. But I think it took I think it took balls for them to do it. And they did it. So, you know, I respect. Respect. Businesses are protesting across the country. A lot of people are burning their tickets. A lot of people are burning their swag. I don't blame them. Here is a Colts fan burning his very expensive season tickets.
I'm a season ticket holder. Love the NFL, always have. Always been a huge fan. I served my country. My grandfather served our country. Both of them served in World War II. There's a lot of people that fought and died for that flag. And to disrespect it yesterday like you did, I'm done. I've thought about giving away my tickets or selling them. Then I thought, well, those seats are just going to be filled again. So I'm making my own sacrifice, and I'm standing up for what I believe, and I'm getting rid of these tickets right now.
And he burned them. Like I said, people are burning their jerseys. There's restaurants are saying they're not going to show football anymore, even though there's going to be a costly proposition for restaurants to say no to football. Here's a Palmetto Ale House in Greenville, South Carolina.
Like a typical Monday night at Palmetto Ale House. Hot food, cold drinks, but no football?
We will not be selling NFL here, and that starts today.
Tonight is anything but normal. The usual Monday night sports talk replaced with political chatter.
I'm done. I'm done with the NFL. If you want to be against our country, then get out of our country. If you don't like America, leave it. It's not perfect, but what country is?
Earl Hildebrand is a Vietnam vet and also a longtime NFL fan, but says his loyalty to the sport went down the drain when players protested the national anthem this past weekend.
I called the DirecTV because I had the NFL Sunday ticket, and I canceled it.
Hildebrand decided to eat at Palmetto Ale House after reading this Facebook post from Greenville restaurant owner David McCraw. No NFL games will be played at Palmetto Ale House until every player stands.
It's sickening to see that that people in our country that feel that they had the right to disrespect our flag and our country.
Okay. That's the feeling that people have. Around 60% of people saying you should stand during the national anthem. Tonight, today's the 28th of September, tonight the Green Bay Packers have asked their fans to stand in solidarity and link arms to support the players who would kneel. That's a gigantic, colossal mistake. They really have no clue what's going on if they think the fans are going to support it, by and large. They don't get it yet. I don't know what it's going to take. You've got viewership down by 11%. Jersey sales are tanking. Alejandro Villanueva, the guy who stood in the tunnel in St. Louis, or this the Pittsburgh game last weekend, his jersey sales went through the ceiling, number one selling. They honestly don't get it. Other people don't get it. Celebrities like Spike Lee. Spike Lee was talking with Anderson Cooper Wednesday on CNN. Here he is talking about Colin Kaepernick and why he doesn't have a job.
The reason why this whole thing's happened is because Kaepernick took a knee, and therefore he doesn't have a job. So if they want unity, this brother should have a job of one of the 32 teams.
They need groundskeepers. They need groundskeepers.
I think so.
You think there's no doubt he doesn't have a job because he took the knee and it's too controversial?
I think so.
Okay. No. That's not the reason. He doesn't have the goods. That's why. Spike Lee talking about how those of us who think players should stand on during the national anthem will end up on the wrong side of history.
If we know anything about the history of sports in America, this is why I'm wearing this shirt. John Carlos, Tommy Smith, 1968 Olympics. Muhammad Ali lost the prime years of life because he refused to be inducted into the Vietnam War.
It's not 1968. There's no war going on. There's no Jim Crow. There's no segregation.
And he was on the right side of history.
He was despised by the vast majority of America. Yeah.
Muhammad Ali was the most hated man in America, and now it's a whole narrative where, you know, people just want to think of him lighting the torch in Atlanta, you know, with his arm shake from Parkinson's. But that wasn't him in his greatest.
Do you think people will look back at what Colin Kaepernick did passing in a different way?
I think so. I also think that all these people that are on the Trump bandwagon, they're going to be in the wrong side of history.
He is so wrong. Kneeling during the national anthem for some perceived, incorrectly perceived action by police officers toward white black males is misdirected, and it's a faux movement. Ferguson was built on a lie. Michael Brown actually attacked a police officer. Ferguson was a lie. Not even close. Those guys were brave. These guys are millionaires kneeling during the national anthem because they want some. There's no finish line. They have no finish line. There will be nothing satisfactory. There will never be enough. There will never be enough. And a lot of these people grew up hating America, even though they are part of the 0.01% hitting the club, making millions of dollars, driving a Bentley. This is where Spike really, really, really insults a lot of people. He compares the owners of the teams to plantation owners and the football players to slaves.
Like the owners or the plantation owners and the guys playing the league, you know, they're on the plantation. You can't say anything.
That is an insult to anyone who, the generations of people who suffered through slavery, who were sold, who were beaten, who had their families torn apart. That's an insult. That's like comparing 1968 to 2017. This is even worse. This is so phenomenally off center. So yet the other day, somebody said that illegal immigrants are like the Jews and ICE is like the Nazis. Just phenomenally wrong. A spoiled coddled generation who thinks a perceived slight is some sort of massive injury, compared to those who suffered through much worse times. What a giant full of, just a bunch of crap. Al Sharpton had a guy on, I guess he's a NFL, or an NBA, former NBA player. Pardon me, I don't know Craig Hodges. Another slavery reference, folks. Listen to it.
Where we are right now, it's beyond us getting justice in America, it's absolutely time for the Congressional Black Caucus to call for human rights violations that have occurred past and previously. You know, and I think right now, it's a civil rights issue within the context of what President Trump said the other night. And as far as hampering athletes to be able to employ or get employment or gain employment. And, you know, when I think about his whole thing is when was America, make America great again. Now we see that 1817 is more likely when he's thinking about America being great, as opposed to us kneeling on behalf of righteousness and justice. He wants us to be kneeling in the cotton fields again. But
unbelievable. He wants us to be dealing in the cotton fields again. It is so blatantly outrageous. It is so beyond compare, beyond the pale, to say something about the President of the United States. You've obviously lost the argument when you say something that insensitive and stupid. We all wanted to know what Steven Seagal had to say about this, right? Here he is being interviewed by British TV.
I guess really what I'd like to say is this. I believe in free speech. I believe that everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but I don't agree that they should hold the United States of America or the world hostage by taking a venue where people are tuning in to watch a football game and, you know, imposing their political views. I think it's outrageous. I think it's a joke. It's disgusting. And, you know, I respect the American flag, and I myself, you know, have risked my life countless times for the American flag, and I don't understand or agree with this kind of behavior. I think it's an outrage.
Okay. The NFL brought this on themselves. They brought it on themselves. They bring out the giant flags in the middle of the field. They do military flyovers. They took millions of dollars from the U.S. military for the flyovers and for the big presentations at the beginning of the games. They're the ones who did it. They created it. And now they're complaining about it. The American people expect it now. We expect it, and we respect the flag, and we respect for what it's worth, for what it stands for. And it stands for a lot of different things. It stands for those who couldn't be there at the game, for those who lost their lives overseas, alone, without their families. And many, many young people, many people did that. Here's Sebastian Gorka on Hannity last night talking about it.
If you don't respect the flag, then you don't respect the lives of the people who died for that nation. It's that simple.
Here he is talking about what the flag represents.
You say you love the flag, the red of that flag, yes. The stripes in that flag, that's the same red as the blood of Americans that fought and died for this nation. And we didn't look upon them based upon their skin color.
We all bleed red, right?
The blood of a black.
Except for Hillary Clinton. I think hers is green.
African-American is the same color as an Asian, as a white-skinned American. The people who fought on the beaches of Normandy, who fought in Vietnam, in Korea, in Afghanistan, and Iraq. It's a symbol of unity. If you can't see the flag and the anthem as symbols of unity, but political tools, then perhaps you should think again about which country you're loyal to.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Montel Williams served in the military, and I thank him for his service. He's a little misguided on this, though.
I put my hand in the air, and I took an oath of office. That oath was, I do solemnly swear and affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I didn't say I swear allegiance to a song, to a piece of cloth.
More than a piece of cloth.
To the Constitution.
What do they put on caskets of soldiers who die?
Which allows for freedom of
speech. It's not a piece of cloth.
Speech. I was willing to take a bullet for that. Okay? Now, we're all acting like we're upset because somebody seems to have offended you patriotically. And the majority of people I hear opening their mouths, they didn't put a uniform on their back. Their children didn't put a uniform.
They live in freedom. They have every right to protest and be angry that people are taking a knee when the national anthem is being played.
They didn't serve, and they didn't even think of serving. So how dare you disrespect those who've been shot for freedom of speech by telling people to shut up.
How many of the players serve the country risk their lives? Very few of them. President is doubling down on this. He says basically they better change their business plan or they're going to go right to hell.
I think the NFL is in a box. I think they're in a really bad box. You look at what's happening with their ratings. You look at what's going. I mean, frankly, the only thing that's doing well in the NFL is the pregame because everybody wants to see what's going on.
Yeah.
The NFL is in a very bad box. You cannot have people disrespecting our national anthem, our flag, our country, and that's what they're doing. And in my opinion, the NFL has to change. Or you know what's going to happen? Their business is going to go to hell.
Business is going to go to hell.
We respect our national anthem.
The business is going to go to hell, and it is. And it is. And all the commissioner has to do is say, stand. That's it. You can do something else in your own time. You can protest. You can go out and do something. How about that? Make a change. Go work in an inner city neighborhood. Maybe adopt a kid whose father isn't around. You know, save a kid, save another generation of African-American kids in the inner city. That won't happen because this serves as a massive distraction from the real crisis in the black community. That's what it has always been. It's what the Black Lives Matter movement is all about. It's about placing blame on someone else, placing blame on the police and not on the thug that goes in and steals some blunts and then goes after an officer's gun and gets shot. Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones apparently told the president they're going to stand this weekend. All of them going to stand arm's length with the national anthem. So that's good. That's good. And Jerry Jones has just told him, you got to stand. You got to stand. Saw an article by Daniel Lederfield or Letterfield about the mess here. Solution to the NFL mess. Owners and union needs to tell players you're killing the golden goose. And it is. And it is. Of course, this all started last summer with Colin Kaepernick, and 11% is the drop in viewership for the NFL. The commissioner and owners aren't going to call players out publicly and demand they stand. This would likely make matters worse and create a media firestorm vis-a-vis the players' First Amendment rights, although they don't have the right to stand. They have the ability. How do they fix this PR business disaster that's unfolding before our very eyes? Perhaps the NFL's only way out is playing the golden goose card behind the scenes. In other words, make it abundantly clear to the players in their union while they have the right to kneel. No, they don't. In the process, they're killing the golden goose, and it's going to cost them a lot of money with lower TV ratings, likely ticket sales, less salary. There will be less salary cap money for player contracts. NFL brass and players team owners have to communicate this privately to the players. You got your lower ratings. TV rights holders going to pay the NFL less. Another big issue is losing endorsements. A Denver auto dealer, Phil Long, dropped Broncos star Von Miller from his commercial, said, "You're done, man." And when the NFL's collective bargaining agreement expires in 2021, the players will likely take a hit on the wallet if they continue to persist, and that's fine. Go for it, man. So that's, maybe a way to approach them. I wish I could live their life. I wish I could have a contract worth $100 million in 5 years, retire at 34. Most of us can't. 99.9% of us can't. Another Democrat took the knee in the House chamber. Mark Pocan decided to imitate Sheila Jackson Lee the other day. Here he is talking before taking a knee.
I think today taking a knee is becoming a broader sign of patriotism and respect for our country.
No, it's not.
For a country that can be even greater for every one of its citizens. It respects the lives lost for those in this country to fight for its ideals, which includes nonviolent protest.
Okay. Again, you can do nonviolent protest, but you can't do it at work. Just can't do it at work. I told you, I worked at McDonald's. I couldn't say, welcome to McDonald's. What the hell do you want? They'd fire me right away. Here he is actually taking a knee in the House.
It's a sign of love of country.
No, not really. It isn't.
Country with a promise that has to be for everyone, regardless of the color of their skin. So I joined so many now in the NFL and elsewhere in taking a knee for the America that we all aspire it to be.
So an NFL analyst the other day, and I didn't get this guy's name, but I think he encapsulated the feelings of the American people on this.
I have no idea how it will manifest. All I'm telling you is that I believe often up here in the Northeast, we live in a media bubble or even a cultural bubble in the Northeast, and we're greatly underestimating the resentment out there in the public, evidenced by Villanueva's jersey sales, evidenced by ratings, evidenced by there is a group called a Remington Research Group, which is right-leaning, mm-hmm. that says 64% of people this week agree with Donald Trump on these protests. I'm just telling you, I have no idea how it will manifest, but it's real.
It is real. It's very real and it's very personal. And if the NFL doesn't get it, and it doesn't sound like they do, they're going to get it sooner or later. They are. One school is saying to their students, you got to stand during the national anthem. Jeff Hunt, a spokesman for Colorado Christian University, says all athletes must stand for the national anthem in prayer before a game or event. So that was hard. That was really tough. Oh. I'm not going to talk too much about the president's tax plan because some minutia here and, you know. But there's a new tax plan being proposed, and it's being rejected by people like Chuck Schumer. And it's an overhaul of the tax system, and it needs to be done. It needs to be done. I'm so tired of the Congresses of the United States never getting it done. They keep saying we need to overhaul the tax, we need to overhaul the IRS, and they never do. And this is the time to do it. So 20% corporate income tax down from 35%. Elimination of some business deductions. A one-time repatriation, bringing your wealth back onshore at a much lower rate than it would be taxed at normally, which would be 35% if you're a business. Bottom individual rate of 12%. People currently in the 15% marginal tax rate would most likely be included here. A middle tax bracket of 25% and a top individual tax rate of 35%, which is still too high. It's 39.6%. It was raised during the Obama administration. 40% is too much. So, and then also a fourth higher tax bracket for people who make a lot of money. Larger standard deduction for a single person, $12,000 for couples, married couples, $24,000. It's going to eliminate most itemized deductions with the exception of charitable gifts and home mortgage interest. It'll eliminate the state and local tax deduction. So high tax states like California and New Jersey, typically run by Democrats, are going to hit the most, the people in those states. Death tax going bye-bye, and it should, because you've been paying tax on all you have ever earned in your life, and suddenly at the end of your life, to add insult to injury, the government takes, it's like winning the lottery to them, because you died. No word on the marriage penalty. I think marriage is penalty enough, don't you? I mean, I've always said marriage is penalty enough. Now, here's the thing that the tax plan doesn't do. Doesn't cut spending. Doesn't cut spending at all. This year, through August, federal government collected the most money it's ever done in tax revenue. Almost $3 trillion by August. Breaks the previous record by hundreds of billions of dollars. Results in a deficit of $673 billion. So we're still running two-thirds of $1 trillion in the red through August, even though the government is taking in more than it ever has. And then people in the government say that, how are we going to pay for these tax cuts? Well, you don't pay for tax cuts. You cut spending. You cut spending. That's what you do. You and I, we're running a deficit. We got to cut spending, right? Government never has to suffer. The government never gets cut. They sometimes have their annual increase cut slightly, and then they caterwaul and they scream and yell. How many years have you gone without a raise? I've been there, trust me, many times. So you got to cut spending, but whatever. See about this woman on this Southwest Airlines flight. She was flying from Baltimore to Los Angeles. Gets on the plane and pitches a fit because there's a service dog on there. She says she's deathly allergic to dogs and the dog has to go. Southwest policy is to remove the person. Yeah. Dogs here. If you're allergic to it, you got to move. she decided to pitch a fit. She decided to fight all the way. And I, you know, I've seen some rough treatment by security officials on planes that I don't agree with. This woman needed to be dragged off.
I'm sorry. My dad has a surgery. What are you doing?
Come on, lady, let's go.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Ripped her pants.
Do it for yourself.
You have ripped my pants off. I will walk off. Don't touch me.
Let's walk. Don't touch me.
She never attempted to walk, by the way. They said walk, and she wouldn't.
She's walking.
She's walking.
Stop it.
Then walk.
Don't touch me.
Walk.
Show them that you're walking.
Walk.
He's
got my leg.
She's wrong. She was getting into seat rows again, and they were trying to pull her out of that. I'm going to have to agree with the airline on this one. By the way, she was offered another flight. She turned it down. So much for her important dad surgery, right? They offer her another flight. We'll get you on there. Nope. She'll probably get some sort of a lawsuit out of it. She'll probably get some sort of money out of it. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who really just ought to go work at Walmart, was being interviewed by Charlie Rose earlier this week, talking about Wednesday, actually, about Hillary Clinton losing. And she says that the election was about sexism. She says that Hillary Clinton, because she was a woman, lost the election.
Do you think sexism played a role in that campaign?
Do I think so?
Yes.
I have no doubt that it did. Yeah.
Show me the evidence.
Do you think it was decisive?
That it was
decisive. In other words, if Hillary Clinton had been a man, she would have won that election going away.
There's so many things that might have been decisive, but that was a major, major factor.
She was a terrible candidate. She's a crooked. The Clinton Foundation, separate server. Go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. It's not 1919 again. It's not 1817 again. And it's not 1968 again. Every time you say that the reason why Hillary Clinton didn't get elected was because she was a woman, it disrespects and insults the American people. Is there sexism in the country? Sure. But honestly, for her as a woman who's lived a very privileged life, to claim sexism, it's a slap in the face to a lot of people. It is. Let's talk about legalized pot, okay? Sing along.
Now everybody gather around and listen if you would. When I tell you every person needs a way of feeling good.
Good.
Every kitty needs a ball of string and every dog a stick.
Hey.
But all you need is a bag of weed to really get a kick.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. A bag of weed, a bag of weed. Oh, everything is better with a bag of weed. It's the only help that you'll ever need, because everything is better with a bag of weed.
There you go. You're all getting it now.
All right, so sometimes it doesn't take a genius to figure out when a company's stock's going to go through the ceiling, okay? Hurricane's coming. Maybe a good time to buy Home Depot. Okay, yeah. Hurricane, yeah. You're going to need the plywood before, then you're going to need all the other stuff after. Safe bet that Home Depot in an area where there's a hurricane probably be a good investment. Where do you suppose, what business would benefit the most from being close to marijuana dispensaries? If you said Taco Bell, you'd be right. Ding, 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 ding. Taco Bell. Yes, Taco Bell. Cannabis dispensaries. A lot of people get the munchies. New study by Green Market Report and Consumer Research. There you go. 43% of legal marijuana users ate at a McDonald's restaurant the past 4 weeks. 18% of Taco Bell. I thought it'd be higher for Taco Bell. Taco Bell just seems more like a stoner joint. I love it, by the way. 17% went to Wendy's, dude. So you can get those, that frosty, and like dip your fries in it. Yeah. 27,500 people responded on an online survey. Jack in the Box also popular, and Carl's Jr. I think Taco Bell is, I love their new stuff that they do, and they bring out these new products and they're outrageous and all that. And I remember they did the chicken chalupa. Remember that, where they replaced the taco shell with fried chicken shell? Who thinks like that? Who goes, dude, this would be so much like better if the shell was made out of like fried chicken? Yeah, stoners on the board of directors. Doritos Locos Tacos, $1 billion enterprise. Somebody said, dude, this is a good taco, but man, Doritos would make a really cool shell too. And they did. And they did. They've also got this new, this eggshell taco. Have you seen this? They took the egg, it's a breakfast burrito, and they took a fried egg and wrapped it around the typical fare that you find in the breakfast burrito. Nobody thinks like that unless you're stoned under the influence of something. Just the way it is. Just the way it is. One more story. They've made the hottest pepper. I'm a hot sauce fiend, and I pickle my own peppers. I love them very much. There's a new pepper that's been created. It's called Pepper X. 3.18 million Scoville units. It takes the throne from the Carolina Reaper. Pepper X is 3 times hotter than any peppers out there right now. Twice as hot as the Reaper at 1.6 million. It's a dangerous pepper. All right? Unbelievable. According to Life Science, heating a pepper this hot can send your immune system into overdrive, trick your body into thinking it is experiencing real extreme heat. Pepper X should not be consumed alone. The hot sauce is described as, and they made a hot sauce, more than a simple mouth burn. Pepperette singes your soul, starting with a pleasant burn in the mouth, and the heat passes quickly, lulling you into false confidence. It's made by Puckerbutt Pepper Company. That sounded weird. Not Peckerbutt. That's something completely different. Puckerbutt Company. I had this guy on my show when they came out with the Reaper. Might have to get these guys on the show to talk about this. And I would never touch it, by the way. I would never touch it. I've never eaten a pepper hotter than a habanero. I never have. Because it's agony. It's just agony. My son ate a habanero the other day. Doesn't even like hot food. It was agonizing. I don't like to suffer when I eat. But anyway, if you think you have the cojones to do it, try it. Try it. It's time for me to go. And I greatly appreciate you joining me today. I want to thank Dr. Alex Nelson, FountainOfLifeCairo.com in Kansas City, FountainOfLifeCairo.com, FountainOfLifeCairo.com. Also want to mention just real quick, I've got a line of swag, T-shirts and whatnot under this website, okay? It is, this may change, but it's tpublic.com/conservatives, tpublic.com/conservatives. You get T-shirts, you can get stickers like these. Veganism is an eating disorder, and they're really cool, right? You can't coexist when someone will kill you. My kid is not a snowflake. The Che Guevara murders commie douchebag, not a hero. Sometimes war is the answer, kids. Not war is not the answer. You see those on Priuses all the time. You live in Kansas City, Kansas City, or Kansas City. I got your safe space right here. Suck it up, snowflake. Calm down. She lost. He won. Get over it. Dude, make America grateful again. Proud climate change denier. Russia, Russia, Russia with Jan Brady. Okay. All you got to do is go to this website, tpublic.com/user/conservatives. All of them on there. You can get it on T-shirts. You can get it on onesies. You can get it on hoodies. All that stuff helps keep the lights on. Christmas is coming up. You know, it's kind of like activism, but with a sense of humor. You know, activism with a sense of humor. Also, you can download my audio podcast, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Audio Boom, SoundCloud, TuneIn, all of these, and your Amazon Alexa. All you got to do is say, play the Rob Carson podcast and it'll play it, the latest episode. Okay. So I'm going to upload this one now and then it'll be on there. So just look for the Rob Carson Show podcast if you wouldn't mind. Also want to thank LibertyOneTV.com, LibertyOneTV.com for allowing me to join the lineup with a lot of great hosts, a lot of really great hosts. In the meantime, guys, I want to say God bless you. Have a glorious day and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.